And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn. Weekdays from 12:30 to 2 on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn. 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Well, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Monday edition of It's Your Turn. All of a sudden, we are past the halfway point in July. Yeah, this is July 17th. We've also passed the halfway point of the year, believe it or not. That sometimes kind of goes unnoticed with the 4th of July and everything else that's going on, summer vacations and yada, yada, yada. We're going to talk about that, take a look back at the first two quarters of the year in terms of how the financial markets did in just a moment or so. It did pretty well, by the way. Later on the program today, cast members from the Butler Little Theater's summer production of The Snow Queen. You know, the little theater for several years now has done a summer youth production. And doggone, they just do a great job. So we'll meet some of those folks a little bit later on the program today. First of all, though, Howie Pentany is with us from Pentany Capital Management in Portersville. Howie, halfway through 2017 already.
We like it. We could just shut it down right here, probably.
Well, the financial markets did very, very well, didn't they, in the first half of the year?
Yep. Mm-hmm. And, you know, usually, you know, a good return for the stock market typically has been around 10%. You know, that's where we are now. So that's doing, as a friend of mine would say, it's doing right nicely so far. So we'll see what happens. But
yep, it's no guarantee, of course. But for investors, they're certainly happy with the first half of the year results, first two quarters of the year. I still can't get over the fact that we're halfway through already. Time flies, you know. Wow.
Well, the market's been carried, in my view, by the FANGs, a lot, to a large degree, the FANG stocks. Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, Google.
F-A-N-G.
FANG, yeah, FANG, right. Yeah,
that's called what, FANG stocks.
Yeah, and so, you know, not all stocks are way up, you know, but when you have the strength that you've had in those four in particular, and it goes down to many others in the technology area, you know, it's just going to carry the market right along. You know, it's just going to sweep it right along, and that's essentially what's happened. However, having said all that, I think that the Donald has helped the market because of the nothing that he's done, you know, has helped the market. You know, nothing he's done has helped the market. His mere presence has helped the market. I talk to a lot of people in the business world on a monthly basis, and they're all feeling good about their prospects in business. If I call, I happen to know some investors who own their own business, for instance. And, hey, how's business? And they're all saying it's great. Everybody that I talk to is saying their business is good. Now, there are some that aren't. But the people that I talk to are saying, you know, it's good. It's good. And they think that all these regulations and so on that were put into effect in the previous administration – are getting kicked to the side so that they can become more competitive and they can do more business because they don't have to worry about this stuff. For instance, healthcare, and you know, that was a big worry for, they never knew where healthcare was going to go. In other words, if you were a small 20 person employer, you know, you didn't know what was going on, whether how much it was going to cost you to take care of your people. And most people do that anyway. I mean, they just didn't know what the cost was going to be. And that was a scary thing to them. They wouldn't hire anybody. I mean, I talked to business owners who told me, with all these regulations that Obama's putting in place, I'm not hiring anybody because I don't know what I'm going to have to do. Now, you know, I think our friend Mr. Trump, who I voted for, you know, sometimes strikes me as being, you know, a little on the ditzy side, if you will. So he doesn't do everything. I mean, I don't approve of everything that he does. But I think his mere presence has spurred the stock market, you know, he thinks he's going to build things, and I don't know that he's going to build a wall, but he's certainly going to have to do something about roads and bridges and that kind of thing. And so those stocks have done very well. So there's a general feeling, I think you could say, that things are going to get better. You know, I always laugh. GDP, the growth rate is about 2%. You know, and everybody says that's the press, particularly the liberal press, likes to say, that's terrible, 2%.
Gross national product we're talking about, right?
Yeah. GDP. Value of goods and services produced. And, you know, I just laugh because 2% in the United States is billions and billions and billions of dollars. Mm-hmm. So if whatever the Donald is doing has any result and it raises it to 3 or 4%, can you imagine what the stock market's going to do or is likely to do? Not is going to do, but is likely to do.
Well, let me ask you, because I don't follow the you know, the nightly financial news. I guess I've learned from you to...
Right. Don't listen.
Yeah, they're trying to sell liver drugs and everything else. You know, you can't help but hear a lot of analysts think that the market's way overvalued right now.
Yeah, and I would not disagree with that. I mean, I've been in this business for a long time, and I would not disagree that the market looks overvalued. However, let's make that assumption. The market's overvalued, and earnings are wherever they are, and profitability is what drives the stock market. If the profitability is good and interest rates are under control and inflation is under control, typically the market does pretty well. So right now, let's assume that everybody's right, that the market's overvalued, so they're all waiting for a correction, right? They're all waiting for the market to go down. Well, you know, I always laugh at that, too, because they sit on the side and wait, and maybe it's not going to happen, you know, and they're going to be left behind. Now, a lot of the people that are talking about that, Dave, have missed the market. They've been in cash. They're not happy. You know, so they're trying to make the market go down with their comments. You know, the market's overvalued. I got all this cash, and I'll just wait till it goes down. Well, what if it doesn't go down? You know, I have no clue. I mean, I don't know any more than anybody else. I have no clue. But let's assume, or just for the fun of it, let's say that all of a sudden the economy starts growing at 3 or 4%. It's likely or probable or possible that the market won't go down, that the earnings will typically increase to where it pushes the market higher. Now, having said all that, what could make the market go down? In my view, it's geopolitical in nature, or it's things we don't have any ideas. You know, we don't know what's out there. God forbid a terrorist attack. You know, something like that. That could certainly do it. But also the political situations in countries outside the U.S. I mean, you know.
Witness a couple of years ago when in Greece and in Portugal, to name two.
Exactly.
The stock market dropped noticeably when
and
they had
Brexit.
Financial trouble.
Even when Brexit
True.
Came about, you know, the market rallied and recovered most of that. But who knows what's going to happen? You know, if the one leader in France had been elected, you know, who knows what would have happened? But the more moderate got elected in France.
Macron.
Yeah.
Instead of Le Pen.
Yeah, exactly. And if Le Pen had been elected, why, you know, the story could be different. You know, the market could be weak. And I think that, you know, he's kind of hanging in there and hanging his hat on the fact that he doesn't think, I don't think he does, that immigration is a big deal. And see, I've spent some time in Europe, and I can tell you right now that immigration is a big deal, okay? It's a big deal. People don't like it. And there are, you know, they have the liberals over there just like we do. And so they, you know, they want to encourage immigration. Of course, you know, my family, I'm an Irish guy, my family was part of that, the great immigration move many, many years ago. So immigration over a long period of time has been good for everybody. And, you know, you walk into any neighborhood in Butler, Pennsylvania, and ask who the neighborhood is, you're going to get a bunch of answers in Butler, Pennsylvania. We're a very diverse kind of a group here, where you have Polish people and you have German people. I mean, you got all kinds of people here, so it's not unusual to be like that. So immigration done correctly can be good. I did an informal poll not recently, and I asked some of the people I know who are investors, and I said, okay, so what do you think? The answer was almost the same for everybody, Dave. It was unbelievable. Now, we're not talking about a lot of people. I'm telling you, I asked maybe 7 or 8 or 9 people, okay? They all answered the same thing. Let them come in legally. They all answered it that way. In other words, if we're going to allow immigration, let's check them out. Let's find out who they are. Let's make them wait in line a certain period of time. Let's not just let people flood the marketplace. Every person that I ask said the same thing. Let them come in legally. We don't want undocumented aliens, as the Associated Press or somebody likes to call them. You and I call them illegal aliens. But, you know, we don't want that. We want them to come. We welcome them. Come and get jobs, support their families, get benefits, pay Social Security taxes, pay income taxes. They want everybody to come and do that. That's what I got from the people that I asked. Now, that's very unscientific, but, you know, and I'm probably talking to mostly conservatives. So, you know, you have to take that, you know, into account also. But it's incredible to me how much it has swung. I mean, when I told you, you and I had this conversation after Mr. Trump was elected, you know, I vote out in Muddy Creek Township, okay? I got up early and went to vote for Trump on Election Day. And I've been voting out there for 3 years and I haven't missed an election. And the line was out the door. I had never seen it like that. I was able to walk, in every other election, I was able to walk in that door and vote. And there may be, you know, call it a dozen people ahead of me. Well, I'm telling you this. Last November, when I went there, I mean, there had to be 100 or 125 people standing in line waiting to vote. And I did not believe that Trump was going to get elected. So I'm like, whoa, something's going on here. So I started asking people. And everybody who I asked said they were voting for Trump, and the people who weren't, and there were very few, wouldn't say anything. You know, they wouldn't say anything. So I have no clue. This is not any sort of a rah-rah for the Republicans or for Trump or whatever. I'm just telling you what I think and what I see and what I hear from people. So it may all fall. I mean, if Trump falls, he could easily fall flat on his face.
My next question, because you mentioned people have the thought that he's going to do these things. What if it doesn't happen? I mean, for example, there's been no movement on infrastructure at all, and we don't really know how health is going to shake down yet either.
Basically, the problem is because of his attitude, which I'm not real happy with most of the time, because of his attitude, he is finding fellow Republicans who don't want to support him. As a result of that, and this falls on the Democrats and the Republicans, nothing's getting done. So it's back to the same old stuff, in my opinion. You know, we would like to have some income tax change. You know, there are a lot of things you'd like to change and get changed, the health care situation. Nothing's getting done. So these politicians are back to the same old way they've been, see? Many people thought that with Trump winning that the Republicans would support him and support what he wanted to do, which is typical, I would like to say, for Democrats or Republicans. They usually fall behind the president and support him and that kind of thing. We're not seeing that now to a large degree. So I think that gridlock where nothing's getting done is an embarrassment. And these people should be ashamed of themselves, in my view. You know, they should try to get something done. I mean, I actually have a Democratic friend or two, you know, and I actually get along with them, you know, and can actually work with them on different things. But these people won't work together. And it's incredible. There's so much hatred out there that nothing's getting done. So the stock market has been going up in the face of that. See, with nothing getting done, the stock market's been going up. So I think it's been very interesting. And it could continue to go up unless something geopolitical and something outside the United States or something we're totally unprepared for happens. I don't see any weakness here at all with the economy or whatever. I'm not a good economy person. I'm not good at that. But I don't see any weakness here. So until you see you can tell Marty Zweig used to say he used to be on Wall Street Week for us old people who remember that. Back with Louis Rukeyser, you remember Louis?
Yes.
And Marty would say, don't fight the trend. If the market is going up, it is likely to go up. If it's going down, it is likely to go down. So the trend is up now. So, you know, you kind of have to stand aside. If you're negative, you know, you're not making any money.
Well, it's undeniable that the financial markets have increased significantly since in the 6 months that Trump's been in office. But that's been the case. That happened with Obama, too.
Absolutely.
Early part of his administration. And hasn't the biggest increase in the stock market in recent history been during the 8 years that Bill Clinton was in office?
Bill Clinton and Obama, you know, here's the deal. I've been doing this for a long time. I've been following this for a long time. It doesn't seem to me that it matters who's in power. Now, you could say, and you could make statements. You could say that Obama was the biggest anti-business president maybe ever. And I'm not a politician. I can't prove that, but that's probably true. But look what the market did when he was in. I mean, the market ran from the S&P. You know, has tripled or what? I mean, the returns have been incredible when he was in office. So I don't think that anybody, like, I think it's cool that Trump's in there and everything, but I don't think the market will go up because he's in. He's going to have to show results. I'm not sure he can. I mean, I'm the doubting Thomas like everybody else. You know, he does such interesting things, you know, that I just don't like. Whenever I see him, and
well, he's 6 months in, so
exactly, you know. He's got. As I said to somebody the other day, there's a new sheriff in town. Still got 1,200 or 1,300 days, so you know, give the guy a chance. If nothing else, give him a chance.
We're talking with Howie Pettine, and we're taking a look back at what is, believe it or not, the first half of the year. Financial markets have been pretty strong, in particular. The NASDAQ, right?
Those, yep.
And that you used an acronym there that I'd never heard before, but I'm not in the business that you're in. FANG stocks.
Right.
Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Google. Are they all NASDAQ stocks?
Yeah.
So they're all like high-tech stuff. Huh?
Well, Facebook is not, but it's interesting to watch these things.
But the NASDAQ is up. Pretty big, isn't it?
Yeah, the NASDAQ's just completely through the roof. Mm-hmm. But that stands to reason because all of these technology stocks that are hot, see, a lot of them are in the NASDAQ. And as a result of that, it gets inflated a little bit. And it's another one of those deals where it looks like it's way overpriced. Looks like that, you know, it would be, it's crazy. But year to date, the NASDAQ is up 17. Regular markets, are, you know, S&P and everything is up 10, 9 or 10. So the NASDAQ's been hot, and that's good. It gives, you know, a lot of those companies are research companies to some degree. You know, they're always looking for stuff. And so with the NASDAQ up, it's typically good. What I'm surprised about this year, and I've written about it, is that the small and mid-cap stocks are just blah. There's nothing going on.
The big boys, just the blue chips.
It's just the big boys that are running. And if you don't own those, if you don't own the right big boys, then you may not be making any money. And the oil stocks, same story with oil. Most oil stocks are down 7-8% for the year. So if you own oil, you're not. But that and oil makes up, I don't know what it is these days. It used to be 10 or 12% of the S&P. But it used to be if the oil stocks weren't up, you know, the market wasn't up because they were a huge part of the market. Well, that's not true. So, you know, this is a whole new ball game here. And I have to check every day because even I get confused. You know, I look at it.
Let me ask you about one of those. I don't think we've talked about Amazon before, at least in any detail. We certainly have mentioned Facebook. Even Facebook, you know, a lot of people are amazed that it, because when they had their initial public offering, what was it, 2 years ago, two and a half, I don't remember exactly when, I thought it was ridiculously overpriced, and it opened and it tanked. Yeah. But then it started to come back, and it's been coming back ever since.
That's one of those times, if you remember, where everybody was right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody said, this thing is overpriced. And sure as heck, it got blasted. But then it's been, don't look back.
Yeah. So Amazon, get back to that. This is something that I bought stuff on Amazon. I think probably everybody has at this point. There'd be very few people who have it. But since the last time we talked, they have now purchased Whole Foods.
Yeah.
Amazon is going into the grocery business. Now, this apparently has set off all kind of alarm bells, similar to what we've seen in, department stores, for example. I don't have to tell you that Gimbel's isn't here anymore, Kaufman's isn't here anymore, Joseph Horn isn't here anymore, Sears won't be here too much longer, Macy's is hurting. Because people are buying this stuff on Amazon now.
And we want to tell everybody, by the way, everybody, we're not recommending any of these stocks.
Oh, heavens no.
So we're having a conversation here. We're not telling you to go buy them.
But are there alarm bells going off in the supermarket industry now?
Oh, absolutely.
With the Amazon purchasing Whole
absolutely.
Foods?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I
people
saw
are going to buy their groceries online? You got to be kidding me.
Right. And, well, they're already doing it. People are already having their groceries delivered from Amazon to a certain degree. So yeah, and I've heard that rumblings. I haven't seen anything. I've heard rumblings that they could get into the drug business.
Mm.
So if they started filling prescriptions, that could be interesting. Okay. And, you know, here's the deal with Amazon. Again, I'm telling you, everybody, I'm not recommending you buy the stock because it's fraught with risk because they're going into this thing. The issue with Amazon, in my view, is that they have all the money. If you have all the money, you can play anywhere you want to play, right?
And if it doesn't work out, you say,
it's no big deal.
Yeah, try something else.
Yeah, we'll just do something else. So they can go out there, buy Whole Foods, and they can see if it works, and if it works, fine. If it doesn't, you know, it's just not a big deal. So I think that you're going to continue to see these announcements by Amazon about things that they are doing. They're starting, you know, to clothe women now, I mean, to some degree. And, you know, there's just so much that they can – the mere mention, David, as you said, the mere mention – of an industry, my Amazon, just scares everybody to death in the industry.
They're also pioneering the delivery by drone.
Yep.
They're doing that in some parts of California, I know for sure. These are things that if we talked about them 5 years ago, certainly 10 years ago, it would have been science fiction.
Never happened.
No, it's impossible.
It's like me, and one of the biggest mistakes I made for my own account was in not buying our infamous coffee stock. And, you know, I said, now this will never work. People will never pay $7 or $8 for a cup of coffee. Wrong.
You know, well, some of us still don't.
Well, I understand, but there are enough people that do that the company has done very well. So I think that this is kind of cool. Everything has changed.
Folks, as Howie mentioned, and we always give you the disclaimer when we're talking, not just with the financial advisors, but you know we have medical professionals and surgeons and other attorneys on here. The opinions voiced on the program are for general information only. They are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for anyone. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your attorney, your accountant, your financial advisor, or your tax advisor prior to investing. So with that disclaimer, we'll take a quick break, and we'll talk about some more specific markets. I certainly want to talk about energy, because the natural gas industry in particular, you know, we're stakeholders here in Western Pennsylvania right. in this industry, and it's been shaky. It's been unpredictable in the past few years. We'll talk about that and a bunch of other stuff, too. Howie Penteny with us from Penteny Capital Management here on It's Your Turn on a Monday. We'll be back after these words.
Butler Health System is more than a community hospital. It's a community of expertise trusted by our neighbors across the region. For renowned surgeon Dr. Tony Maloof, that means his neighbors are connected to a modern network of exceptional care.
While I'm part of a very close-knit group, I'm also a part of something bigger. Every day, I can see the difference this makes for my patients and for me.
But in its heart, Butler Health System retains the genuine caring of a community hospital, where patients are treated like friends and neighbors, because that's exactly who they are. And for orthopedic surgeon Thomas Mazzanegro, that caring is where it all begins.
We're committed to providing the absolute best care, and that means understanding what's important in the lives of our patients.
At BHS, we know what it takes to provide the very best of care. But more importantly, we know why we have to. Caring hands, remarkable minds. That's Butler Health System.
Thompson Miller probably receives more calls about cremation than any other subject. So let me share with you what you need to know, what you need to think about concerning this sensitive subject. Thompson Miller Funeral Home in Butler is often asked these points. Should you consider cremation for your loved one? Is it appropriate for your family? What's the appropriate funeral service? What's the cost? Good questions. Cremation offers three advantages: simplicity, convenience, and it's local. Thompson Miller's cremation services are right here in Butler at our own newly created facility. We assure you that your loved ones will never leave our care at any point in the process. Let's talk it over privately right here at Thompson Miller, or call us at 724-287-3706, 287-3706, or online at www.thompson-miller.com. Thompson Miller at the corner of East North and McCain Streets in downtown Butler. Thompson Miller, time-honored excellence.
Howie Penteny visits with us on the It's Your Turn program today. We're taking a look back at the first half of the year. We're two quarters in already. In fact, it was a couple of weeks ago we passed the halfway peg of 2017. What about the energy sector? I mentioned before the break, Howie Penteny, that we have a stake here in Western Pennsylvania. We're stakeholders in the natural gas industry because we are like the, you know, the Saudi Arabia of natural gas with the Marcellus Shale and in the future the Utica Shale. But the price has been depressed for the last two or three years. There are lots of wells that they're not pumping. They're holding off until. Not taking any gas out of there until they're waiting until the price goes up. And so far, it hasn't, although there are rumblings that some of the companies may be starting to do a little more business here again.
They're still drilling.
Yeah?
Not like it was. But every once in a while, I run into where I see they're drilling.
What do I know? I'm a layperson. I see more action in building pipelines, which tells me that because it's not cheap to lay these pipelines all over the place, it tells me that these companies think there's still a market for this in the future, and let's take advantage of this lull and build pipelines like crazy.
Well, you know, the oil companies used to be oil companies. In other words, you know, you could say that's a huge oil company. Well, now you can say, well, they're a huge oil and natural gas company. You take... Mm-hmm. Probably the two that I see talked about are Exxon and Chevron. And you look at them, and they're like 50-50. They're like 50% natural gas and 50% oil. Now, I have no clue what's going to happen. All I know is that these people that run these companies are not stupid. Now, natural gas is down almost 20% this year. It was already way down. I mean, I remember whether it was $12 or $15. Now it's $2.90. So, if these guys are either really stupid, or they say, "Give me some time," and prices will turn. There's still a lot of countries around the world that do not have natural resources, and they need propane. And propane is now, you know, the issue was turning natural gas into propane. That was the issue. Now that's all changing. You know, they're building the factories and the refineries that can do that. Now they've got to build the ships that can haul the liquefied petroleum gas.
That's what they do with the gas. They liquefy it, and then,
yeah,
then
exactly,
they can ship it.
Exactly,
it
and then they can ship it, right.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, that's not come to fruition yet. I mean, we're not selling a bunch of it yet because the ships aren't ready. The factories, the refineries aren't ready, whatever it is they call those. So that, you know, that could have an effect. But we got a bunch of natural gas, see, in the United States. We got a bunch. And you and I have talked about this before. I think the thing that's going to be, if you just think about this, you know, all of a sudden, you know, I don't know that it'll ever happen, but let's just speculate that natural gas was double in price one of these days. It wouldn't have to go far, $2.90 to $6. It was 12 or 15, okay? So it could do that under the right circumstances, I guess. It may never do it, but it could. But can you imagine what the people who are heating their homes with natural gas now are going to say, mm-hmm. See, if that happens?
Yeah, well, the price, Noah, if you heat your gas, if you heat your home with natural gas, you're loving it. If you're if you have fracking wells on your property or your farm, then you're not loving it. What about, and this is something else to me, the layperson, because I have no training whatsoever in financial analysis, but the fact that Royal Dutch Shell decided to go ahead with this cracker plant just across the Butler County line in Beaver County, that, as a layperson, that tells me something, because they, you know, they wouldn't have done it if they didn't have some. So I haven't seen that yet. Somebody told me that they were down there. They said it's a small city they're building there. It's under construction right now. They said it's unbelievable.
These guys, that's my thought as I think about all this. So, you know, these guys are not stupid. What they are doing is what many of us fail to do, long-term planning. They're figuring, we'll go ahead and do this, and we'll invest our money now. Interest rates are low, you know, blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah. We can invest our money now, and, you know, we're going to take a chance. But, you know, that's what investors do. You know, investors invest their money, and they see how it works out. And so I think that's what's happening with these people. These people, you know, again, I just keep saying, they're just not stupid. They, you know, there used to be an old adage out there that came from Barron's Magazine or something like that that I read a long, long time ago. It said, don't screw around with the oil companies because those guys are not dumb, and they typically know. But you wouldn't know it now. If you're like you and me, what are they doing throwing all this money away? There's no market. There's no market for natural gas. Oil's at a low. Why are these people drilling? What are they doing? And if you talk to those people, you'd find out what they're doing. They're investing their money for the future. They don't have to be right, see. They could be wrong. We could be in a situation where there's such an abundance of energy now that we just hang around down here at low prices. You know, they're betting that you and I, that's wrong, that they're going to get rewarded for it. And
you have to
we'll
think,
see.
Though, for, I mean, we have, you know, we're energy independent now. We have been for a few years. We wouldn't have to import the oil. I understand
right.
we import
right.
different grades and we sell
sure.
different grades with it, where it's a net plus. But there are, you mentioned this a few minutes ago, there are places in the world that lack natural resource. One of them is Europe in terms of heating.
Right.
They rely a great deal on propane to heat in the wintertime. And these are populous countries. We're talking about Germany, France. Right now they get a lot of their propane from Russia.
Well, see, West Texas crude, for instance, just as a for instance, crude oil's down almost 14%. So natural gas down 20%, but crude oil's down. So, man, we're just scraping along the bottom here. It doesn't look good for the energy business at all. But you just have to say, well, but the same thing, you and I were talking, transportation stocks are only up 6 or 7% this year as a group. So as you go down the list, not everything has started going up or is up. And so you just have to look at everything. You know, gosh, what's going on here? Why some segments of the market aren't doing anything? Utilities are up 6 or 7. See, and
in other words, they're up, but they're not up.
Yeah, they're not up like the market. They're not up like the broad market's up 10. Mm-hmm. Call it 10. So you know, there's three segments. Oil, oil's down. Then you've got transportation, and transportation stocks. It's usually imperative that transportation stocks do well. Truckers, railroads, that kind of thing. And they're doing okay. They're up 7 if you doubled it and they were, you know, do whatever you want to do. But they're just, it's interesting that this market is so segmented. Not everything's doing well. It's like I said with people I talk to saying their business is good. Not all businesses are good, but you know, enough of the strong ones are kind of carrying it right along.
The airlines may have consolidated to the point where they can't consolidate anymore. What are we down to? Big five, I think, major. But, you know, the news that I hear in the airline business, again, this is just me as a layperson, I hear about airlines that I didn't even know existed, and now they're offering service into Pittsburgh. Condor, never heard of them before. Wow, airlines, you can fly from Pittsburgh to Reykjavik now. And, of course, the key is there. You touch down in Reykjavik and then you get a connecting flight to anywhere in Europe, Paris, Frankfurt, right. London, whatever. And then the Great Circle route, you're really not going that far out of your way. They offer cheap flights. They get a lot of bodies on their planes. Bingo. But it's not Icelandic Air. It's Wow. I never heard of them before.
You go to the Pittsburgh airport, and you know where the baggage section is, okay, mm-hmm. at Pittsburgh, where you get down and collect your bags. And you look at those names, and you say, who is that? You're exactly right. Who is that?
Condor Airlines. They're the ones that are flying direct from Pittsburgh to Germany now.
Is that right?
Or they will start, I don't know, this month or something. They're about to.
Well, it's that's been very – you know, it is kind of interesting because – When the airline stocks started doing well years ago, a few years ago, when they started going up in value, everybody said, you know, I'm not buying the airlines. Same old story. Through a couple, maybe 5 years ago, I'll take the risk. I'm not absolutely positive about this, but I'm going to say up to 10 years ago, I'm not taking much risk if I say 10 versus 5. Up to 10 years ago, airlines had never made any money, Dave. They'd never made any money. Why? Because there was so much competition. If one of them cut the rates, everybody else was on top of it, you know, and they weren't making any money. Now they can virtually charge you and me anything they want. We'll pay for two bags. Yes, sir, we'll pay that.
You have to stop twice and change planes.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, but that's a function of Pittsburgh not being a hub anymore. I mean, there used to be 600 flights a day. I don't know what it is now. But if you go out to the airport and look around, the airport seems like it's half empty.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you still have service, but you can't get from here to there without going there first. I mean, if you want to go to my son lives did live in New Orleans. Well, heck. He used to fly back and forth nonstop all the time from New Orleans to Pittsburgh. Then he found out he had to go to Memphis or he had to go to Atlanta or something like that. So when Pittsburgh became no longer a hub, it really hurt you and I because now all the flights leave at 6 o'clock in the morning because you got to go someplace to get another flight to get where you're going.
But that makes more money for the airline.
Absolutely,
right?
Absolutely. They're rolling in it. They're rolling. If they don't mess it up somehow, like a few of the airlines have tried to, as they're beating up customers, and that kind of, if they don't mess it up, you know, I tell my wife this all the time. I say, look, the women in the United States control or have about 70% of the wealth. Right now, they have it. The women have 70% of the wealth. And I see it because of the business I'm in. But they have the estimate is 70%. And I said to my wife, if y'all don't mess it up, you're going to have 90% of the money in 20 more years because more guys are going to die. Everybody's turning 65, and, you know, everybody's going to die. So if the women don't mess it up somehow, they're going to have all the money.
I haven't seen the latest statistics, but I have no reason to doubt that. I did see a story on the wire a couple of years ago that I forget the exact percentage, but it's something like 75% of the final decisions on a new vehicle are made by a woman.
Absolutely. You know? It's in my business, it has totally changed, David. I used to, you know, when I would talk to investors 10 or 15 years ago, I would be talking to the men. Why? Because they made the decisions. So you didn't even talk to the women, see? Now it's totally flipped. If I am talking to a couple many times, maybe most of the time, I'm talking to the woman because she's making the decision. You know, I've always said, my wife's a lot smarter than I am, so I'll admit that right out, you know. But there's more women graduating from college and more women graduating with advanced degrees than there are men. I mean, man, if you don't know it, men, the women are coming. They're not really coming. I've always said this. They're already here, but they're really going to come in the next, I don't know how long it'll take before men start dying, but, you know, they're going to end up with all the money. And plus, they make money on their own. It's not like they're poor anyway, see? They have their own money, and now they're going to get more money if they're married to somebody who worked like men. And if they outlive the men, they're going to get the money. So the women are smarter, they're more aggressive, and, you know, they're going to take over the thing if they don't, again, if they don't figure out some way not to do that.
We'll take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about a little bit about foreign markets. And then if you're not invested there, maybe you don't pay that much attention. I do a little bit. But they have been on the rise from what I've been reading, at least.
Yep. So
we'll talk about that when we come back. Howie Pentney, our guest. One of our sponsors on the program today is Gone Postal Butler. Have you heard about this business, folks? Gone Postal here in Butler? Gone Postal is your friendly neighborhood shipping center, delivering the best of America. And yes, they have a local franchise. It's on Shockey Lane, just off Newcastle Road. It's right behind the two restaurants there, King's and the Villa Grande. It's in the Shockey mini storage. That's where they're located. Folks, they do stuff that can be a real nuisance sometimes. For example, you have to ship something, you have to package it up. You know, you need all the supplies, you need the paper, the packing tape, the labels, and all that stuff. They package your items for shipping. They do it for you, and you can ship it any way you want: FedEx, UPS, U.S. Postal Service, no problem. They'll do it at Gone Postal in Butler. They also do copying. They have scanning service, faxing, mailbox rentals, custom boxes, greeting cards. Even buy your lottery ticket there. But oh, and an official notary as well. Gone Postal, Butler, 140 Shockey Lane, just off Newcastle Road behind King's and Villa Grande in the Shockey Mini Storage. Here's a phone number. You can get more information about their services, 724-841-0044. 724-841-0044. Your friendly neighborhood shipping center. Gone Postal, Butler. Are you looking for a new pharmacy after hearing news of Kmart closing? Celebrating 10 years of pharmacy care to the Butler community, locally owned Institute Hill Pharmacy can fill your prescriptions in just 10 minutes. We take all major insurance plans, stock a variety of over-the-counter medications, and pride ourselves on fast, friendly customer service. And we are excited to offer a $5 off coupon for any transferred prescription from Kmart customers. Some restrictions apply.
Check out Institute Hill Pharmacy on Facebook or stop by their location on East Jefferson Street.
Institute Hill Pharmacy. An old-fashioned pharmacy, just the way you remember.
Our guest, Howie Pentney, if you're joining us midstream here on the program today, that's fine. My name is Dave Malarkey. Howie is with Pentney Capital Management in Portersville. So what about the foreign markets? Indeed, are they on the rise as well? Are they doing pretty well?
Generally speaking, they are.
Yeah, we have to make a sweeping generalization because there are a number of foreign markets. Obviously. Yeah.
Well, I think the if you kind of divide them up a little bit, Dave, the Asia Pacific Rim, which is out there, Cambodia, Bangkok, Hong Kong, blah, 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 all those areas out in there.
Korea?
Korea, yeah, South Korea, yeah. Mm. Taiwan, India's included, Hong Kong, China, Australia. As a group, they're up about 16%, as a just that part of the world right there. Now, Europe's only up about 7%. You'd expect that. I mean, that to me, that, you know, to me, that pretty much figures that that Europe would be not up very much. And England, the UK's only up 3%. So they did well, and then they got, you know, Brexit kind of took them down, and then they didn't do too well. So a lot of the markets over there are up a good bit more than Europe. There's some doubt as to, you know, how they're going to handle it.
It's another example of how unforeseen geopolitical events can drag an economy down, the UK. And now their Prime Minister, Theresa May, decided to call for a snap election, hoping to consolidate her power. And just the opposite happened. She's barely clinging now. There's talk that she may be gone. So you never know. Who could have called that? You know, she was obviously silly to call for the snap election. South Korea interests me. And again, just as a layperson,
right,
don't know that much about South Korea. It is a tiny, tiny country.
Yep.
If you look at a map, even the Korean Peninsula is a blip on the map. And South Korea is only half of it, for goodness sakes. And yet, look how many of our electronics now come from South Korea. And it's not just televisions, although there's a lot of Samsung televisions, they're the number two smartphone maker in the world behind Apple and cars. Look at the number of Korean vehicles on the road now in the United States from this tiny little country. And amazing. Isn't it amazing?
It is. And, you know, I think that South Korea is up about 18 or 19, as memory serves me. Mm. The global index, I think it's the Dow Jones Global Index, is up about 12. So overall, you know, that global index is doing pretty well, better than we are at this juncture. And it had some work to do. You know, they hadn't, those markets hadn't done anything for a good while. So it's just kind of catch up stuff. And I wanted to just blip in here. I don't know what it is about 6 or 7%. Things are up 6 or 7% this year, as you and I were talking. Gold's up 6.5%. 1226, 6.5%. So there's that's the interesting, one of the interesting things about this market. There are a lot of sectors, both in the commodities and in the market itself, that aren't up very much. You know, maybe 6 or 7%, but yet the overall market itself, if you look at the stock market, is up. The broad market's up about 9.5%. So, you know, even though some of the sectors aren't doing well, the market, because of some of these stocks, is doing very well. You just have to know where to be. That's the challenge. It's always been the challenge. That's why I love this business. It's always a challenge to try to figure out where you should be. I'm always trying to figure out what's going to be going on next year at this time, and you can't do it. Now I've quit looking at you can't. You just can't do it.
Steel would be a perfect example of that. And again, as Howie said a couple of minutes ago when he segmented the foreign markets, you have to segment steel. I was looking at the story of U.S. steel in the period since Trump's election. It jumped up between Election Day and early February to $42 a share. And then it crashed down to $21 a share. It lost half of its value in a span of just a couple of months. So
it wasn't unusual in that industry. You did see that. You're exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Even the local companies, same story, you know. And that's a perception. See, it's all about the perception. What are investors thinking? What are they thinking? Well, it seems like they're thinking that technology is the place to be. That's what they're thinking right now. They're not thinking that transportation stocks or utilities, see, they're not thinking that that's where you should be. They're thinking all of these high growth rate companies that generally speaking are in the technology area. Now, we don't know how that's going to play out, but that's what they're thinking right now, according to the numbers. You just look at the numbers, and that's it.
Kmart, Sears Holdings, which has owned Kmart for, seven or eight years, something like that. Sears bought Kmart. But obviously, they announced here in Butler that the Butler Kmart store was going to be closing, I think, within another month or so. I don't remember the exact date, but sometime late summer. Since that time, and that wasn't all that long ago, just a couple of weeks ago, Sears announced that it was closing another 20 stores, I think 18 Sears stores and a couple of more Kmart stores. There have to be people that wonder is this company going to survive at all? I mean, how much more can they downsize? It's like every month, Sears announces they're closing 40 more stores. And this is an iconic American brand. I mean, you would think that would be one of
15 years ago, if you had said
Sears is going to go
Sears
out of business, that
it
locked you up.
Yeah.
I thought you were nuts.
Yeah. Craftsman, they're selling off pieces of everything, mm-hmm. So trying to survive. I don't know whether they're going to do it. They could very well do it. I don't know. They own a lot of really valuable real estate.
Well, because they got a lot of empty stores in malls
right,
all over the country.
Right, but the real estate's valuable. So, the company may be worth something, one of these days. It's very difficult to try to figure out retail. So I'm pretty smart. I just stay away from it because I haven't figured out retail forever. I don't know what's going on. I see all these funny-looking names and funny-looking shoes and all that stuff, and I just stay away from it because I don't really understand fashion trends, if you will. So it's just becoming more difficult to place wagers on retail. I mean, where do you go? You can talk about Amazon all you want, but there are other opportunities out there. How do you make that judgment? See, in my view, it's very difficult. Do you buy this or do you buy that? Or do you just stay away? The smart thing to do, no. The easy thing to do is to just stay away and go where everybody else is going. And then when the market turns, it'll tell you. It usually does. And then maybe you can do something. But retail, in my view, it's just I have no clue where retail is going. No clue. You have the drugstore chains to some degree. I don't know what the numbers are, but if you walk into one of the big two or three drugstores that you and I used to call drugstores, what do you see? Food. You see food.
And a lot of other stuff, too.
Yeah, and a lot of other stuff. At least 25 to 30% of the store. Mm-hmm. So, man, did you ever think that would happen? See, I never knew that that would happen, where they would sell food. I knew as soon as I saw, I'm not that smart. Everybody saw it, too. Everybody who saw it realized it, too. Whenever I saw years ago that Walmart was getting into the food business, followed by Sam's. I said, uh-oh, this is not good. So now, today, I believe it's true today that supermarkets are no longer the biggest sellers of food. It's stores like Costco and Walmart, and stores that were traditionally not in that business. But now they've gotten into the business and they've kind of taken over. So you have grocery stores.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have these stores here that, to your point early in the show, you said something about who would order online. Well, I guess we're wrong because they're already starting it.
The whole concept of the way we shop, I was recently in, it's not a brand new development, but it's relatively new down in Cranberry. It's called the Streets of Cranberry. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, we used to spend summers. We had relatives that lived in the Midwest, and we would visit them every summer. And this was a small Midwestern city. It wasn't a village, but they had a town square. And almost all of their retail stores were right around this square.
For sure.
And it wasn't that big. I mean, you could cross the square in 20 seconds. But that's where everything was. It was right around this square. That seems to be the new model in many cases. There's a place in Pittsburgh, Southside Works, that's built on that concept. And that's what this Streets of Cranberry is. It's an unusual design. It's like a throwback to, you know, the 1930s or the 1940s in small-town America. It's not a long strip mall. It's not an indoor enclosed mall. It's all separate stores. They all have outside entrances, but they're all grouped around this square.
Here's the problem, as I see it. You got all these young people, commonly known as millennials. After the women get done with the money, the millennials are going to get it. Now, that's not for a long time. But I can tell you right now, without a doubt, that these retailers are trying to figure out, especially the people who own malls, the people who own the land and the stores and everything in these malls. They're sitting around trying to figure out, they're working hard at it, how they can bring that group into the mall. And I don't know about you. I haven't seen it yet, have you? I mean, I don't see that much.
There's attempts, yeah. Well, even locally at Clearview, you know, there are more and more of the retail outlets who have exterior entrances now, as opposed
right.
to...
Right, how do you get them in?
Interior, you know, they have...
I'm not coming in at 10 o'clock in the morning. I want to come in at some other time.
Mm-hmm. So it's just interesting because it's a sea change in the way we shop. You know, not just the products, but in the way we shop.
Well, look at the thing that I think is also just another one of these interesting things that happens. Convenience stores. Do you ever think that the Friendly and Local convenience store would be open 24/7, 365? No. There's not enough business. They can't do that. They can't be open at 3 o'clock in the morning. Oh, yeah, they can. As a matter of fact, they are. And, you know... there's a lot of stores out there that have recognized that, and they got smart. You know, there's a couple locally we can't talk about, but you know, these people are smart. Not only are we going to be open, but we're going to let you order food from the gas pump. And I just saw the other day, you and I talked about this last time I was on. Remember we were talking about the minimum wage, okay? The minimum wage was never supposed to be a wage that supported a family. It was supposed to be for college students, people in between jobs, blah, 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 blah. It was never supposed to provide a living wage. Now there are people who are trying to make it be twice as much as it is, for instance. Man, I saw the big story the other day in some place. It's kiosks at McDonald's. You're not dealing with the person out front. You're going in and ordering your food at a kiosk.
A stationary robot, so to speak.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's going to, you know, that's going to eliminate jobs. It's not going to, you know, you can raise the minimum wage if you want to, and it will help some people for sure. But look at all the jobs that are going to be lost with this kiosk situation, you know. Mm-hmm. So the whole thing is changing. I think it's going to be interesting to watch what happens in the next 4 or 5 years. Actually, in the next, you and I have to laugh about this. We have to try to remember this program and see a year from now.
It could be.
What are we talking about a year from now? I bet you there's some surprises.
We could get our lunch delivered by drone.
That's exactly right.
Who knows? Howie Penteney visiting with us as we take a look back. Bottom line, in a word, how did the financial markets do in the first half of the year? Pretty good for most. We'll see what happens from here on in. A reminder, of course, the opinions that were voiced on this program are for general information only. They are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your attorney, your accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Howie, always good to see you. Nice to talk with you again today.
Yeah, this is really interesting. I mean, we could talk forever about this, but the changes that are going to come about are really going to affect the stock market. And I have nobody knows. That's the secret. Nobody knows what's going on, and it's going to be fun to watch it.
It will be, yeah. More to come on It's Your Turn. Please stick around. We'll take a break. We are scheduled to chat with some cast members of the Butler Little Theater's upcoming summer youth production here on the program tomorrow. It's scheduled to be Ask the Veterinarian tomorrow. with Dr. Dennis Damon. So stick around. More to come on the Monday edition of It's Your Turn. We will be back after these words. We are speaking today with physical medicine and rehabilitation specialist Dr. Edward Reedy from Tri Rivers Surgical. Dr. Reedy, what causes back pain?
The causes of back pain are numerous, and in younger people tend to involve soft tissue problems such as muscles, tendons, or ligaments, and as we age a bit, tend to involve wear and tear and deterioration of the discs of the low back. Patients have at their own disposal the best treatment for low back pain, which is fitness. They can keep their weight down and do a fair amount of core strengthening exercises such as abdominal strengthening, back muscle strengthening, and lower extremity muscle strengthening. That should help them minimize their back pain and also avoid injuries. Someone with chronic back pain should seek consultation with a physician if their symptoms last greater than a month or they experience any leg pain associated with the back pain.
To learn more, call Tri Rivers Surgical at their new office near the Clearview Mall in Butler. Toll free, 866-874-7483. The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler.
I'm putting this on speaker, Mr. Schneider. Schneider's 1 hour. This is Michael.
Yeah, my name's Guy. My AC just went out. Can you come first thing in the morning?
We can fix it right now.
But it's like 2:30 a.m.
We're 24/7, Guy. And you're Comfort Club family.
All right.
Schneider's 1 hour is always on-time service.
When you need it.
Not just when we feel like it.
That's gotta cost extra, though, right?
Nope. Same great rates.
Days, nights, and weekends.
That's unbelievable.
That's Schneider's 1 hour.
It's the same price, honey.
We'll have an expert technician get you comfort in no time.
I'll lead him to the thermostat.
That's three already tonight.
With this much excitement, who needs sleep? Here we go again.
Schneider's 1 hour. This is Gary.
283-8525.
Schneider's 1 hour. On time, day or night.
283-8525.
Welcome back, good friends. Nice to have you with us on the It's Your Turn program for a Monday. Dave Malarkey is my name. We have three guests with us, all members of the cast of the upcoming Butler Little Theater summer youth production of The Snow Queen. Yeah, great. I think it's adapted from a Hans Christian Andersen fairy tale. Let's meet our guests. We'll go around the table here. Say hello to everybody. Carrie Peters is here. Hi, Carrie. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing good, Dave.
Nice to have you here today. Also with us is Naomi Eberle. Hi, Naomi. How are you?
I'm good.
Okay. And Layla Tyler.
Hey.
Layla, same. Nice to see you. Nice to have you here.
Nice to see you, too.
So, The Snow Queen, indeed, it's from Hans Christian Andersen. Layla, do you know?
Yep. It's from the original story is by Hans Christian Andersen, and it was adapted by Will Ledesma.
Mm-hmm. Hans Christian Andersen wrote a lot of great stories and fairy tales and stuff, you know, from long, long ago. And this is a new adaptation of The Snow Queen?
Yes and no. There's a few adaptations, but I think this one's probably the best.
Had you ever heard of The Snow Queen, Carrie, before you tried out for this show?
Yes, I have. I actually have a collection of all Hans Christian Andersen stories.
Oh, really?
Some of the other stories he wrote that are very popular, The Little Mermaid, The Princess and the Pea, Thumbelina, The Ugly Duckling.
I didn't realize he wrote all of those.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. Thumbelina, I remember reading that, yeah. And The Princess and the Pea, of course, is a very popular production, a musical production. Maybe some of you have even done that.
Yes, I have actually been in that show.
Me too. Yeah.
What about you, Naomi? Had you ever heard of The Snow Queen before?
No, I had not.
Me neither. Well, first of all, let me ask you about the roles that you play. Layla, what about you? What's the character that you play?
I play the Snow Queen, and she is described as fair and beautiful, and she's kind of cold-hearted,
I was going to say, we have good queens and we have bad queens in Hans Christian Andersen stories. So the snow queen is...
I'm kind of in the middle.
I see.
Yes.
Hot and cold, huh?
Yes. She's got a icy heart of gold.
Well, snow queen, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Naomi? What character do you play?
I play Gerda, and she's very, like, concerned, shy kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
Not the kind of person that you would expect to go on a crazy adventure thingy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So.
And what about you, Carrie?
I play the storyteller. I am essentially the essence of the show. Very energetic, and I help the audience through it.
So this is a theatrical device that is sometimes used in a play. Not often, but it's certainly not unheard of.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know of any other shows that have used a narrator or a storyteller to help things along? One that pops into my mind right away is Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. Mm-hmm. You know that
yes.
musical?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually the narrator in James and the Giant Peach. I was here almost, I think it was 5 years ago now, that was my first Butler Little Theater show.
Mm. And so that show used a narrator to help mm-hmm. things along. And if you're if it's an adaptation of it, well, here, perfect example, Hans Christian Andersen's story, you need something to kind of speed it along. I mean, for goodness sakes, it's not going to be a three-hour show. You can't tell everything through the acting on stage. You have to kind of speed the plot along a little mm-hmm. bit, huh?
Yes, the original story is about 7 pages long in a decent-sized book. And the character I'm portraying actually has a very energetic jester-type personality. It's a kind of a personality that I've developed over a period of time. It took me a while to really get into something that would keep the audience on their toes mm-hmm. the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask a little bit about the plot. Can you give me a general outline? What happens? I'll talk to the Snow Queen first, Layla Tyler. What's the basic plot of this show?
So, Gerda and Kay are best friends.
Kay is the
leading male of
okay.
the story.
Mm-hmm.
And him and Gerda are best friends. And then one day, Kay gets a piece of glass, enchanted glass, in his eye. And then he gets kidnapped by the Snow Queen. And I will leave the rest up to the other two to explain.
So you kidnap this young boy?
Yes.
Young boy, I take it?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. All just because he got a piece of glass in his eye?
Yeah.
You know, the initial reaction would be to take him to the eye doctor, not to kidnap him, for goodness sakes.
Yeah.
But this is a special mirror, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. So let me ask Gerda here. Are you like school chums with Kay? Are you not brother and sister or anything,
like,
right? Neighbors? Neighborhood
we're
kids?
We're neighbors that like grew up together, so we're naturally friends.
I see. Okay. Do they give any specific age that you are, or just
no.
a young person, huh?
Yep. Yeah. So, and then since Kay is all of a sudden gone, now Gerda goes on this adventure because he's her best friend. She can't just leave him alone with this crazy person.
Mm-hmm. Do you have an idea where he is? Do you know? Are there any clues?
Originally, there's like no idea whatsoever. So.
You just start off down the yellow brick road. Oh, wait a minute, that's another show, isn't it?
Yeah.
So do you you eventually find him?
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. Does the Snow Queen have a castle?
Yes, she does. And it's described as huge and beautiful, and it's very, very grand.
Mm-hmm. What about the part of Kay? Does anybody know this young man? Do you know who's playing the part?
Yeah, he's the little boy that Gerda here is friends with. If you're familiar with Frozen, the Disney animated film, this is actually it's a spin-off of the Snow Queen story.
Mm-hmm.
So
I wondered about that when I
yes.
heard the Snow Queen and Frozen, you know. But I'm not familiar with either story. So.
Loosely
think
based.
Of how Anna gets frozen. It's a similar concept is what happens to this mm-hmm. little boy, and Gerda goes on this crazy adventure to find him and bring him home where he belongs.
Who plays Kay?
Owen Boring.
Mm-hmm. Did you know him beforehand?
Yes, he played Mike TV in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Oh, yes, that was last year, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Last year? So tell me about this show. Layla, it's this weekend, right?
Yes, it is this weekend, Thursday. Mm-hmm. Well, it starts Thursday night, and it starts at 7:30. And tickets are available 45 minutes before the performance. Mm-hmm. And they're also available
at www.bltgroup.org. The show dates are July 20th through the 22nd at 7:30, and then July 23rd is our matinee at 2:30.
So that's this coming Thursday, Friday, Saturday evenings, and then this Sunday matinee. Huh?
Yes.
So four shows all together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're talking with cast members from the Butler Little Theater's summer production of The Snow Queen, the summer youth production of Snow Queen. And we'll take a quick break here. We have some more questions for our guests, but we need to take a break and come back to talk to them a little bit more in just a moment. So stick around. We will be right back.
I took my troubles down to Madame Ruth. You know that gypsy with the gold cap tooth.
Well, you won't need a love potion, but you will need a radio tuned to WISR 680 AM to listen to the Mr. 60s Rock and Roll Oldie Show every Saturday from 9 to 10 a.m. We got lots of music and a little chatter. You'll hear all the rockers of the 50s, 60s, and 70s. Hey, at my age, the only love potion I need is the cup of coffee I'm drinking during my show.
Each month, Radio PA gives you a chance to send a question or comment to Governor Tom Wolf during our Ask the Governor program. Your input can make a difference, just like Thomas in Center County, who was concerned about the state prison population counting toward the governor's proposed $25 per capita fee for state police coverage.
Prison populations included in these township formulas, is there a way to offset that, or is that just the way it's going
to be? I think Thomas makes a really good point. That's not right. So I will make sure that at least in the proposal that I make, I will modify that we don't count the prison population in that. So I think Thomas makes a very good point. Thank you for that good question.
You can be a part of the next Ask the Governor program by going to pamatters.com and clicking the Ask the Governor link at the top of the page. You can also email the program directly at askthegov@pamatters.com. That's askthegov@pamatters.com. Ask the Governor is an exclusive presentation of Radio Pennsylvania and pamatters.com.
Welcome back, friends. We're pleased to have three cast members from the Butler Little Theater's summer youth production of Snow Queen, which is coming up this weekend, actually starting this Thursday and then running right through the weekend at the Butler Little Theater. And we'll tell you a little bit more about ticket availabilities here in a moment or so. You can get them online now. That's the way the Little Theater is doing all their tickets. In fact, they've done them that way for the past couple of years now. I think people are getting used to that. It's really very convenient once you get onto it. So Snow Queen is adapted from the Hans Christian Andersen story. We already know that the Snow Queen, portrayed by Layla Tyler, has a castle. Is that imagined by the use of your set, or is there an actual castle on stage, or how does that work, Layla?
It's a combination between a few different set pieces we use earlier in the play,
mm-hmm.
and blocks that we can easily move around the stage to make different types of things like chairs, stools, carriages.
Give you some different levels and so on and so forth.
Yes. Oh,
very nice. Yeah. Who's directing the show, by the way?
Shannon Donovan is directing the show.
Shannon has done the summer youth production at the Little Theater for several years now. 5 years. She's been majoring in musical theater, I think, at Point Park.
Yes.
Yeah, I haven't talked to her in a while, but... well, it's a wonderful job. She gives an opportunity for young people to not necessarily get your feet wet, because I suspect that most of you have done a couple of shows at least before, huh? Right?
Yes.
Gary, how many? Do you know?
Ooh.
How many on your resume so far?
Oh, at least over... It's been over 10 now, but with the Butler Little Theater, this is my fifth show.
Always the summer youth production?
Always.
Mm-hmm. So you're obviously having fun, huh?
Yes, I am a big fan of Shannon's. We went to school together, and we do this together every summer, and it's great.
What about you, Layla? Have you done the summer youth production at the Butler Little Theater before?
No, this is my first summer mm-hmm. youth production at the Butler Little Theater, and I certainly don't think it will be my last. because Shannon's great to work with.
Have you done other shows before, Layla?
Yes, this is my sixth show that I've done, and this is my second show at the Butler Little Theater.
Oh, really? What did you do previously at the Little Theater?
I did Flowers for Algernon, and I was Bernice, a mentally challenged student.
Mm-hmm. That was a great show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was so pleased to see that the Little Theater put that on their playbill. That was just this past season. It was the last show, wasn't it?
Yep.
The May show. And they did a superb job.
Yes, yeah, they did.
Superb job. Delicate subject, extremely well done.
Yes.
Very well done. Well, then you're an old hand trotting the boards at the Butler Little Theater. It's nothing new for you, huh?
No, not really, but I actually really, really enjoy doing the youth production because the kids are great to work with, Shannon's great to work with, and I've had some new friends like Carrie here.
Have you done stuff at your school, too? Where do you go to school, by the way?
I go to school at Lincoln Park Performing Arts Charter School.
Oh, yes. That's over in Beaver County, right?
Yes. Yeah. I go there for theater. Uh-huh. I haven't done anything there yet, but I'm looking to this year.
How long have you been going there?
Just 1 year. This is going to be my second year coming up.
Mm-hmm. So have you enjoyed the experience?
Oh, I loved it down there. Uh-huh. It's great.
Are you from around this area originally?
Yes, I am from Butler.
So you that's a long haul for you every day, huh?
Yeah, it's okay, though. It's...
Well, that school is, among other things, very well known for its theater department.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wonderful
theater
department.
They do some pretty elaborate shows when you get to their main stage musicals. By the way, is there any song and dance in this show, Naomi? Is this a musical or just a play?
Well, there is a tiny bit of dancing when one of the people I meet on the adventures is goofing off, but that's it.
So this is the adventure that you go on to try to find your friend Kay, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So where all do you go?
I go...
You just meet people along the way? Is that the deal?
Mm-hmm.
Like a scarecrow and a lion? Oh, no, wait a minute. That's another show.
We don't want to give too much away. We want the audience to find out for themselves.
Mm-hmm. So tell me about your previous experience on stage, Naomi, because I know you've done a bunch of shows, too.
Yes. This is my fourth play at the BLT, and I've actually only done these four plays.
Mm-hmm. Have you done, like, any of the children's workshops or anything there?
Nope.
What about school? Where do you go to school, Naomi?
I go to the Butler Middle School.
Boy, oh, boy. They keep changing the... divisions in school. I don't even know what middle school means anymore in Butler. Is that like fifth grade or something?
It's fifth grade and sixth grade.
Fifth and sixth. So what grade will you be in come this fall?
Sixth.
So this will be your last year there, right?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. And what about you, Carrie? You said you went to school with Shannon?
I went to high school with Shannon. I graduated. I'm now at BC3, Butler Community College, for nursing. This will be my last year, and I will be a registered nurse, hopefully, by next summer.
Well, that's wonderful. That's a very competitive program to even get in, so you must be a pretty good student.
Yes, it's very difficult, very rigorous.
Long waiting list of people trying to get into that program.
Only 75 students a year are accepted.
Is it a two-year program?
Yes, it is.
So how are you doing so far? You got your first year in, right?
Yes.
You doing okay? You going to make it?
I have technically one semester left.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so you're speeding right along. Huh?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about that. I would think that anything in the medical field, especially if you're going into nursing, very academically rigorous, yes?
Yeah. I'm really caring and compassionate, and I have a heart for it. So the mind came after, I guess. I was a good student in high school, but it took a while to get used to studying, especially for these types of...
It's a different ballgame, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a whole new field of like knowledge and really using... Not just common sense, but knowing what to do in certain situations that are life or death, really.
Mm-hmm. Is there any practical experience involved, like a practicum, or what would be analogous to a student teaching thing in the nursing program, or is it just all classroom work?
No, I work at a hospital 2 days a week and go to school 2 days a week, so I'm spending a good bit of time with patients, actual patients, doing hands-on care and documentation and everything that really comes with it.
Well, gosh, good for you. That's terrific. Do you get time off in the summer, or are you still
Yeah, I'm off this summer.
Okay. Well, if you're not rigorous a program, you need a little bit of a break anyway.
Yes, you do.
Do nurses specialize these days, or can you just become like, for lack of a better term, general nurse, and then decide later if you want to, like work in the OR or something like that?
Yeah, there are lots of different levels. You can be a licensed practitioner nurse, a registered nurse, which is my program, a nurse being a bachelor's, you can get a bachelor's degree in it, all the way up to a doctorate in nursing.
Mm-hmm.
Master's is typically where the higher level specialities come in, such as pediatrics and OR, ER.
Do you have any, have you mulled over this decision yet? Do you plan to immediately go into the workforce, or are you maybe looking for an advanced degree? What are your plans?
I'm looking to go straight into being a registered nurse, feeling the waters, getting my bachelor's probably online, and then hopefully going for a master's degree probably as a nurse practitioner, which is kind of a general thing where you can sort of test the waters and see mm-hmm. what specialty. It's master's degree, but it's for, like, you could do family practice, all sorts of different things. I just want to be kind of general, broaden my field.
Well, good for you. That's terrific. Where'd you go to high school?
I went to Knock High School.
Mm-hmm. South Butler School District, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. So does this sound very interesting at all to you, Naomi? Would you like to be a nurse someday?
Actually, I would not. I have always wanted to be a martial artist, so.
Really?
Yeah.
So do you watch this on TV, or how did you get the idea that that's what you wanted to do with your life?
Well, ever since I've grown up, my uncle went to basic training, and then my cousin, who's a lot older than me, was in college for, he was taking classes of martial arts, so.
Well, have you done any of this, like preliminary classes or anything like that?
I do Kung Fu at Master Othrock's Kung Fu and Tai Chi.
I see. Is that one of the, because forgive me, I don't know a whole lot about this. Is that where you get various belts? Is that Kung Fu?
Well, we get sashes.
Sashes? Uh-huh. Of various colors, depending on your degree of training and so on and so forth?
Yeah. This is my second year doing it, so.
Do you have a sash yet?
Yes, I have multiple sashes that I've gone through.
I see.
I'm right now at green level 2, and I'm trying to go for my black sash this December.
Hey, listen, you don't want to cross this young lady, you know.
You really don't. She is strong and tough.
You don't want to get on the wrong side of this lady because she knows what she's doing. Well, that's terrific. And if you made a career out of that, well, that would be fantastic. Yeah. Yeah. Great. I didn't ask you, Layla. Do you have any career plans, or are you still... I think at your age, I still want to be a cowboy. I'm not sure.
I would like to do something in theater. Preferably actor or director.
Mm-hmm.
Director is my top goal, and I would like to be as good of a director as Shannon is.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you're going to Lincoln Park, that's a good start. Good training area. Yeah. Have you ever directed a show?
No, but I've helped with a few scenes in my acting class, just leading them in the direction they should go.
Mm-hmm.
And my teachers say that I could be a great director someday.
Do you have, are there grade levels at Lincoln Park? Because I don't know anybody does there.
At Lincoln Park we have grades 7 through 12.
And what grade will you be in come this fall?
I will be in 11th grade.
Okay, so that would be equivalent to a junior.
Yes.
I don't know whether they still use that terminology or not, junior. Mm-hmm. So you still have some time to mull this over, huh?
Yep. Yeah.
Do you go see some plays once in a while? Or do
Mostly stuff that my friends are in, mm-hmm. things at the Butler High School, which also puts on really nice plays and mm-hmm. musicals.
Well, if you're going to, explore that as a career, you need to see a lot, even movies. Movies. But there's not too much opportunity to see plays on TV anymore.
No.
There used to be a lot more, although occasionally there are, some of the networks are doing live musicals now.
Yes, those are great.
Which has been kind of nice. Sound of Music was the first one, I think, mm-hmm. and there have been several more since then.
Yeah.
So you get the opportunity, because it's kind of expensive to go around.
Yeah.
Seeing them in person all the time.
Yeah. I stay local, though. Butler's got a lot of great theater in the community.
What about costumes for this show? Carrie, you're the... The narrator, is that how you're listed in the program?
The storyteller.
Storyteller? Do you have a costume, or are you just like wearing a three-piece suit, or what?
We all have costumes.
Oh, really?
The set is very minimalistic. We use a lot of imagination. But when it comes to our costumes, we're very elaborate. I'm actually doing the special effects makeup for the show again. So we'll have some very interesting makeup, interesting costumes.
I like a minimalist set. It gets the audience involved because mm-hmm. they have to use their imagination.
Yes.
But then you'll dazzle them to death with the costumes and special effects makeup, huh?
Yep.
Special effects makeup?
Yes. So
This is different than the usual grease paint and rouge, or what?
Very different. I always, when I'm on board, Shannon sometimes helps me help out for James and the Giant Peach. I did actual latex pieces for the bugs. For this show, we've got a goblin that I'm doing some crazy, very evil, creepy aesthetics for. We have the Snow Queen, who we're actually playing on her dark features rather than light and airy. She's actually very dark and like fierce but beautiful. We've got me, who's very sunshiny, jester light.
I'm looking at the queen over here. Do you wear a crown, Layla? You have the Snow Queen have a crown?
She has a headband and she wears her hair up and big like I am right now.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Is there snowball fights or anything in this show? Because we've got snow.
Yes.
There is.
Yes.
I thought I was making a joke, and here it is. Wow.
There's snow.
A lot of it.
What about you, Naomi? What do you wear? Do you wear the same costume the whole show?
No, I do change into a dress at one point.
In the midst of your adventure when you're hunting for your pal? Hmm?
So, and most of the time I'm in this nice little vest that I get, so it's nice.
And the Snow Queen?
Yes, I wear this long, kind of form-fitting kind of dress.
Mm-hmm.
And I...
Ermine-trimmed and all the kind of necklaces and stuff that a queen would wear?
Kind of. I have a big fur shawl that
there
I wear.
There we go.
It's beautiful.
That's queenly. Yeah.
If you think Narnia, we got a lot of Narnia things going on in the show. Even the script, actually, kind of has some Narnia feels to it.
And that's big with young people these days, right? Mm. Anything connected with Narnia? Yeah.
It was a few years ago, but I think it still resonates in people's minds.
Mm. It was actually more than a few years ago.
Yeah.
those of us who are a little older actually read those stories. Great stories. Listen, I have to get one final break in here. We'll be back to give you the pertinent details of Snow Queen, for goodness sakes. Four opportunities to see this show, right? Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Four performances at the end of this week at the Butler Little Theater. We'll tell you how to get tickets and stuff again when we come back. You're listening to It's Your Turn on WISR. Back after these words.
Midday lottery numbers for you today. The pick two is 0404. The pick three is 641. The pick 4, 4185. The pick 5, 17389. The wild ball for each is 1. The treasure hunt, 10, 12, 15, 25, and 28. Estimated jackpot for tomorrow's treasure hunt is $80,000.
Moving from my home of 50 years was a little scary, but I wasn't safe at home anymore, and my daughter with her busy life, children and grandchildren, it wasn't fair for me to expect so much from her.
We looked together to find a new home and discovered New Haven Court at Clearview.
What made the difference were the employees and the residents we met. The residents said it was a great place to live.
New Haven Court at Clearview, a great place to live because it's a great place to work. 888-261-5753 or visit IntegraCare.com.
Welcome back, good friends. Ticket information now about Snow Queen, which runs this Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, a Sunday matinee at the Butler Little Theater. Carrie Peters, tickets are $12, right?
Yes, they're $12. You can get them online at the www.bltgroup.org or 45 minutes before the start of the show.
Mm-hmm. And they're reserved seats at the Butler Little Theater.
Yes. Yeah.
And if you've never been there, the furthest seat from the stage is the seventh row back.
Yes, very close.
Yeah, it's called Butler Little Theater for good reason. It's like 160 seats, but only seven rows. So you're up close. You're up close and personal. Let's see, what else did we have to mention? Oh, this is a smaller cast, actually, for a summer production, right?
Well, sometimes it's little. Sometimes this is more of a medium cast.
I see.
It's still a lot of kids, but it's not as big as last year's show, which had over 20 kids in it.
Shannon Donovan is directing. Connie Donovan is producing. And there's a lot of behind-the-scenes work there, producing a show like this with a lot of young people, getting them all together and so on and so forth. It's the story of two young friends, Kay and Gerda. Gerda is with us here right now, Naomi Eberle. And Kay gets kidnapped by the Snow Queen. That's Layla Tyler, also with us here today. And then